Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very shameful and disgusting issue in Islamic jurisprudence is called halala. Today we shall discuss the background of this issue and how it actually negates the spirit of the Quran as well as its explicit directives. Now, according to the Islamic Sharia, when a husband divorces his wife for the third time, he cannot marry her again. Of course, when he divorces her for the first two times, he has the option of taking her back again within the iddat period. However, when he divorces his wife for the third time, he cannot marry her again unless that lady is married to another person, and then that person, out of naturally arisen circumstances, divorces that lady, and only then will that lady become lawful for the first husband. Now, in Islamic jurisprudence, certain subterfuges, which are very disgusting and shameful, have been invented, in which it is pre-planned. And people are particularly singled out and they are told that you can do halala with such and such a person. And once this is done, once this marriage takes place, that person has, an understanding is made with that person that he will divorce this wife, and then this would be actually legalizing her for the first husband. Now, what makes this whole thing even more disgusting and even more shameful is the fact that our jurists impose a condition regarding this particular issue, and they say that this divorce cannot take place by the person who is married again unless, of course, he has had sexual intercourse with that lady. In other words, the whole subterfuge which comes to light is that if a person divorces his wife for the third time, then it is planned that that lady will marry a certain other person who will have sexual intercourse with her, and then he will divorce her so that she can become legally allowable for the first husband. This, of course, is a very disgusting and shameful thing. And if we study the sources in this regard, we come to realize that it has, especially the second portion in which the restriction of sexual intercourse has been imposed. As regards the first thing is concerned, planning such a marriage is concerned, of course, Islam does not know of any hoodwinking of the law. It severely condemns the people who actually try to violate the spirit of the law by merely following its words. Now, as far as the second condition is concerned, in which it is made essential and incumbent that the husband, the person who shall marry, that lady shall marry after being divorced from the first person, must have sexual intercourse with her, is actually based on an erroneous conclusion made on the basis of certain words said by the Prophet. These words actually were very subtle, and they were meant to reprimand a lady who actually wanted her to divorce from her husband so that she could become allowable, legally allowable for the first husband. She came to the Prophet and said that she wants divorce on the grounds that her husband is sexually impotent and he cannot copulate with her, and on these grounds she demanded divorce. And on this basis, of course, then she would become legalized for the first husband. Now, when the Prophet called her husband said that she is absolutely lying and that he is sexually able to satisfy her also. Now, when the Prophet saw the situation, he actually reprimanded that lady in a very subtle voice, in a very subtle tone, in a very subtle manner, and he actually said that she will not, she can only marry the first husband unless and until she is actually able to taste her present husband, which of course, in her own opinion, she cannot, since she thinks that he is sexually impotent. So the issue of the fact is that the Prophet was actually reprimanding her and telling her that you cannot go back to the first husband. In actual matter of fact, his whole sentence only meant to convey this fact that she will not be able to go to the first husband because the basis on which she was demanding the divorce was unfounded. And the fact that her husband was absolutely not sexually impotent, as she said. And since the words said by the Prophet were that you can only now go back to your first husband when you are able to taste the present husband, which of course was impossible because in the opinion of that particular lady, he was sexually impotent. So I now read out that narrative before you so that the words become even more clear. And words which were said in a very subtle tone and in order to reprimand that lady were unfortunately be understood as if they were imposing a condition. This narrative has been recorded in Bukhari, and I'll just read out the translation to you. It says that Ikrimah narrates that Rafa divorced his wife. Thereafter she married Abdul Rahman ibn Zubair Kurzi. Aisha says that she came to her wearing a green cloak and complained of her husband and showed Aisha her bruises. Women do help one another. So when the Prophet came by, Aisha said, I have only seen Muslim women being treated in such a way. Her skin is greener than her cloak. Ikrimah says that when her husband came to know that she had complained to the Prophet, he also came over to the Prophet along with his two sons from his wife. Upon seeing her husband, she got hold of the end of her cloak, letting it hang from her head, and remarked, My only complaint is that whatever he has is no more than this soft cloth. At this, Abdurrahman said, O Prophet of Allah, she has told a lie. I am very strong and can satisfy her. The truth of the matter is that she is disobedient and wants to go back to Rafah. When the Prophet heard this, he said, If this is the case, then you shall not be permissible for Rafah unless Abdurrahman tastes you. Then upon seeing the sons of Abdurrahman, the Prophet remarked, Are these your sons? When he replied in the affirmative, the Prophet said, Do you tell such lies, O Abdurrahman's wife? By God, these young boys resemble Abdurrahman more than a crow resembles another crow. So it is absolutely evident from this narrative that the lady was lying regarding her husband's ability to copulate with her, and she actually wanted to go back to her husband by telling this lie. So the Prophet reprimanded her in very subtle words and said, Now you can only go back after tasting your husband, which of course, in her opinion, she would not be able to do so because she thought that he was sexually impotent. And this was actually a statement of impossibility, or in the words of technical terms, which you can call it a istihala, something which is impossible on the part of someone to do. So therefore, it is absolutely clear that there is no such restriction that when a person divorces his wife, and then she marries someone else, then there is no restriction or there is no condition that the couple must have sexual intercourse with each other before they divorce. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ